And today I want to preach on, by persistence, the snail made it to the ark. And when he returned to Capernaum, you that have been to Capernaum with me, can't you see it? I see it. And when he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no room for them, not even at the door. And he came preaching the word to them, and they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not, and when they could not, and when they could not, oh, excuse me, got stuck there, like an old record, you know. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw whose faith? Their faith. He said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" That's the point, my friends. And they told the truth. See, God's son was just a prophet. He was just a good man. He was a moral man. No, only God can forgive sins. Only him. And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, "Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk?'" Now that's a very good question. Just to say something. Just to say your sins are forgiven of you, anybody could say that. But not anybody could say, "Pick up your bed and walk," and they get up. But that you might know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home." And he rose immediately, picked up his bed, and went out before them, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." You may be seated. By persistence. Did you hear about the snail that knocked on the door one cold night of a certain farmer? When the farmer opened the door, he looked around, he saw no one. And he looked down on his mat, and there was the snail. To that, the farmer just kicked him out into the garden. Winter went by, spring came, summer, then fall. And one fall night, as the leaves were beginning to change, there came a knock on the farmer's door again. Again he opened the door. He looked around. He saw nothing. Saw nobody. And he looked down. There was the same snail. And the snail looked up at him and said, "What'd you do that for?" Okay. Do you know what the snail said on the back of the turtle? Whee! Okay, all right. Now, this is not a sermon about snails. I want you to understand that. It's just a reminder to you that snails are pretty slow. They're pretty sluggard. They're pretty docile in their walk. But the bottom line is, you can get there from here. You can get there from here. So here's the deal. It's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be on the fast track. It's not always going to be that you pray today and it happens tonight. No, sir. You see, you will in this life have battles. And some of you have battles right now that you do really don't want to speak of. You really don't want to talk about because it's a battle that is unspoken. There's others that have battles that you tell everybody about your battles and your troubles. But there's some that have troubles secretly. There's some that have them openly. But the bottom line is we all have fatigue and we all have trouble and we all have trials and we all have setbacks and we all have the adversity. And there's nights that you have to cry all by yourself. Have you been there? I want you to know I've been there. But the message is, don't you give up in this fight. Don't you give up in this battle. Don't you give up in your prayer. Don't you quit your faith. You see, faith and persistence are kind of synonymous words. You want to talk about faith, then you're talking about persistence. The Bible says that Jesus saw their faith, okay? What did he see? What did Jesus see? Did he see some ethereal smoke that kind of lit up in the room? Did he see some glow? Did he see some kind of ignited fire in the eyes of these men bearing down their brother that was sick with a palsy? What was it that they saw? What was it that he saw? You know what Jesus saw? Jesus saw their faith, and how he saw their faith was the persistence of their life. They didn't give up. Didn't quit. They went to the door, but the door was shut. They went to the window, they couldn't get in. They went to the back. I'm sure they went everywhere, but they could not get in, and they would not give up. They set their hand to the plow, and they would never look back. And I'm here to tell you, if you're ever going to succeed, if you're ever going to be all God wants you to be, you're going to have to grow up and get strong and not give up on God and the promise of God, because the promise of God is yea and amen to them that believe. Amen. You see, you better get in and stay in. Amen. Now tell me, what great boxer has not taken a lot of punches, maybe even got knocked down? What baseball player, if he's a sultan of SWAT, yeah, he's hit a lot of home runs, but how many strikeouts does he have? Tell me, what runner has set world records and hasn't tripped over his own feet sometime in the race, or tripped over somebody else's feet sometime in the race? What great physician has not lost a patient or two along the line and been sued for malpractice? Tell me. You can't find one. What great attorney? He may be on the dream team, but let me tell you something. Somewhere in his great career, he has not won the trial. He has lost it big time. And let me tell you something else. There's never been a general that went into battle that ever won every battle they ever fought. As a matter of fact, here's the deal. You may lose a battle now and then, but the good news is you've already won the war. And so knowing that, if you know the end from the beginning, then you just need to keep persisting and keep going on and not give up. Amen. Well, you know, this old gloomy weather is getting a hold of y'all, so I'm just going to have to keep on preaching like a snail. Not going to give up. Not going to quit. And it's with any of you. You've lived your life thus far. And tell me, where along the line have you ever just whistled through life? I mean, every one of you in your careers, in whatever you do, from school teachers to whatever, you have had difficulties. Amen? Amen. We got an insurance, a retired Nationwide insurance agent sitting right back here, my friend Ron. And you know what? I've heard his stories. And Nancy, I've heard him and heard him and heard him. Amen. Amen. And they're good stories. But this man was successful. You know why he was successful? Because he kept knocking on the doors. He kept knocking on the doors. He kept knocking. And he could tell you, there's been a lot of doors shut in his face. You know what he did? He didn't get back in his car and go home and say, well, that's it. They closed the door in my face. No, he went to the next house. He went to the next house. What are you saying? That's what these four men did. They didn't give up. They went to the door, and the door was shut in their face. And so finally they said, hey, I know what we can do. Let's go to the top. Amen. If you want to get to the top, it'll take some work and persistence, but you can get there from here. You really can. Spoke with my brother this morning. My brother's a plumber. And recently he quit his job after 40 years, I think it is, with a great company in Oklahoma City to go out on his own. And God's been blessing him. But in order for him to go out on his own, he had to have a contractor's license. Now, my brother, he's a tough guy. He's the kind of guy that doesn't give up. And, man, I thought he was going to give up. Man, I'd call him and after he'd take a test. He had to take these tests. He had to take a test on plumbing. He had to take a test on business law. And I would call him when he would say, pray for me. Pray for me, brother. I've got to take this test. And he's never been good with tests, I'm telling you. He's probably going to hear this, but he repeated the third grade. Okay, let's get it out in the open, all right? But he's a smart guy. Just not in books sometimes. And so I called him, and he said, I didn't make it. I didn't do it. I tell him, don't give up, don't give up, don't give up. I'm not going to give up. Well, three times went by, and he was so discouraged. He said, I just don't know if I'm going to do it anymore. I remember calling him, and I'm saying, sorry, man, I've been praying, you know, and I've been praying with him, and my mama's been praying, everybody's been praying, and he failed again. Usually takes 8 to 10 times normally for any plumber to get that license, and so it's a very, very, very difficult test. It takes a long time. Matter of fact, this was strung out over 2 years. He tried to take this test. And then on his fourth try, he got the plumbing test, and he got it. But he couldn't pass the business law. And so on his fifth try on the business law, and it costs money every time you take it. He's going in the hole here, trying to go into business, and he's going in the hole. Everything was against him. Everybody was telling him, I'm sure in his mind, you're not going to get it, man. You're not going to get it. You just don't. You won't and you can't. He went the fifth time. On the fifth time, I remember, and man, I was praying hard and I was seeking God. And God, just help him, Lord. He's put it in there and I know it's in there. Just let it come out. Called me. He said, I failed it again. He said, but that's not the worst part. The worst part is I missed it by one question. After 2 years, after a lot of money, after all of his troubles and all of the struggles of trying to pass that. And so he decided, I don't know what I said, man, you need to keep going. You're going to make it. And finally, you know, he said, I'm going to do it again. And guess what? After the sixth time in the business law and 2 years and struggle and study and brother, I want you to know, I like to study. He doesn't like to study. He'd rather watch Clint Eastwood on his TV, okay? I like to study. He doesn't like to study, but he had to put away Clint Eastwood for a little while. And he had to put away Charles Bronson for a little while. And he had to get into books. And he got into books. And on the sixth time, he called me. And he said, brother, praise the Lord God. Help me. And I passed the test. What's the point in all of that? The point is, the reason why a lot of plumbers don't have their contractor's license is because they keep giving up. They get in and then they give up. They don't make it, they give up. That's why a lot of Christians never make it. That's why a lot of people fall in the battle, is because you go through it, you keep going through it, you keep going through it, and you think there's no end in sight. I'm just telling you, there is if you'll be persistent. Amen. It says there was no more room, it says. Not even at the door. The door was shut. I mean, have you ever hit a brick wall? Have you ever had the door shut in your face? Man, I could write a book on doors shut in your face, entitled Closed Doors by Guy Parrish. Subtitle, How to Feel Like One Pathetic Loser. Loser. Amen. Really, I could write the book. I couldn't begin to tell you today, and I'm not going to tell you today, but closed doors. Closed doors are hurt. They hurt you. They're humiliating. They're absolutely, just unwanted. It just makes you feel like you're not good enough. It makes you feel like, you're just not what it takes. You don't have what it takes. It's just something down inside that says, I knew you weren't going to make it. That door was going to shut because you're just not qualified. And it makes you feel bad. But I got news for you. You're only a loser if you don't get back up. Okay? That's the truth. If you don't get back up. Sure, there's been a lot of boxers get knocked down in a fight. But the difference between losers and winners is once you get knocked down, what you gonna do? All right, I know that's not good grammar. What are you going to do? What you gonna do? Amen. What are you going to do? Are you gonna get up? Or are you gonna stay down? And that separates winners from losers. And I'm talking about in your spiritual warfare that you're in. There's gonna be times you're gonna pray and get nothing. There's gonna be times that you get in the Word. Everybody else, did I get a revelation? Did I get some illumination on that scripture? It's so good. And you're gonna read it. It's like, I'm not getting nothing. You'll get nothing at times, but if you'll keep on keeping on, if you'll be persistent, if you'll have patience, thank God, patience, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be complete and wanting nothing, Paul said, but you've got to hold on. You're knocked down, but you're not knocked out. Somebody say amen. You're not a loser until you stay down. I'm telling you, get back up. Amen. It's bad enough that they couldn't get in. But look at the story. They were just trying to do something for someone else. It wasn't for them. It wasn't about them. This was a legitimate good work. This is a work of righteousness, if you want to call it that. One that would bring glory to God. You think about that. They couldn't get in. Not only would it bring glory to God, but they could demonstrate the supernatural power of Jesus. It was all here. All the ingredients were here, but they couldn't get in. The door was shut. And they wanted to relieve this man of his lame suffering. Anytime that you try to do anything for God, you will be met with obstacles. That's what this is telling us. You will be met with roadblocks. You will be met with closed doors. You will be met with, no, not this time. They were hungry, for something beyond the door. You've got to get hungry for what you want. And if you're hungry enough, you'll break down the door. If you're hungry enough, you'll tear up the roof. If you're hungry enough and not give up, you'll make it by the grace of God. And you'll stand on the winning side. You've got to not give up. Amen. I've learned anytime I try to do something for God, there's always obstacles. There's always devils. Whether you're trying to win a soul, I don't think they're here, but I tried to win a soul, and they texted me this morning and said, I didn't get a ride. Hope you're not here. If you're here, forgive me. I use people for illustrations, so be careful. Amen. She's not here. But I'm just saying, and it discouraged me. I thought, I'm praying about this. Anytime you try to build a church, I'm not talking about, you can build it physically, you're going to have problems. Trust me on that one. But if you just try to build one spiritually, you're going to have all kinds of problems, all kinds of roadblocks. There are going to be days you're going to come in here and half the crowd's going to be at the lake, all right? Or half the crowd's going to be watching the Super Bowl or something, and you're going to say, what's going on? Are they not more interested in the Word of God than they are than what they're doing? And you begin to have these doubts. Anytime you try to do anything for God, whether it's feeding the hungry or just putting some shoes on some kids, like we try to do every fall. The devil despises you because you're trying to do something for God. Now, can you see the devil saying this? Could you imagine? Picture with me in your mind. The devil saying to his imps, bless their little souls down there at Light Life Point. They're just trying to do something good. Hey guys, let's just all chip in and give them a couple souls. You want to? Does this sound? Let's just take a vote on that. I mean, they're just trying to do something nice, let's give them a little. Let's throw them a bone here. You know, they're just trying to raise a family. They're just trying to build a church that has the potential to destroy everything that we try to do. But let's just give them a bone now and then. No, they're not. They're not willing to give up not one soul. They're not willing to give up one fight. They're not willing to give up not one inch on the battlefield. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Yeah, the devil may have power over me, but I've got the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, get thee behind me, Satan. I got power in him. See, you try it, I guarantee you, and you need to know your faith will cost you something. It's not cheap. If you want to do something for God, it will cost you something. It's true. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall walk and not be weary, run and not faint. That's true. They that wait upon the Lord. But waiting upon the Lord is hard work. It's not saying get yourself a hammock, get yourself a non-alcoholic pina colada, let your wife bring grapes to you, lay in the hammock, and just wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Little on this side, babe. Amen. It's a little tight. Wait on the Lord. No. Waiting on the Lord's hard work. It's waiting. It doesn't mean just sitting there idle. It means that you're engaged. You're getting into it. So you got to understand, whatever's in your life that you're trying to overcome, whatever's in your life that you're trying to succeed at, I'm talking about God's dream now, okay? I'm not talking about a lot of things these guys are talking about on TV. I'm talking about the will of God, the work of God, and your spiritual life. Anytime you try to do something right, the devil will try to stop you. You got to wait on God. Wait on the Lord. Just look at some practicality. Someone say, I thought I'd be married by now. I planned a wedding for 20 when I was in my 20s. Now I'm in my 40s. Wait on the Lord. Because some of those in their 20s got what they thought was the man of their dreams and found out that he was a reject from a reject. He wasn't a hunk, he was junk. Amen. Hello? Let me flip the record over. Some of these men thought they had the Barbie doll of all Barbie dolls. And they found out, no, she's a reject from a witch factory. Amen. You know, that happens if you don't wait on God. If you get in a hurry, if you try to do your thing is going to get you in trouble. You need to wait on God. Amen. Well, I thought I'd have my degree by now. Every time I plan, I get setbacks. Trouble. Thought I'd be out of debt by now. Cut them credit cards up. That'd get you started. Amen. Thought I'd be out of debt by now, but it just seemed like to me, the harder I try, there's something else comes up. It's like bailing water out of a boat that has holes. I think I'm just going to give up. Whatever you're trying to do in life, it seems like whatever that thing is evades you. If you're not careful, you'll get weary. If you're not careful, you'll get weighed down. If you're not careful, you'll want to quit. And I want you to understand, you'll get to the place that you'll say, oh, what's the use anyway? You know, those are words of a defeated person. What's the use anyway? I mean, what's the good in all of this? I mean, I've tried. I know people that have tried to live for God, but they never sold out to God. See, there's your key. When you sell out to God, when you give God 100%, 100%, lock, stock, and barrel, then he begins to work. But if you're just giving him a little bit, and you're coming in on Sunday, giving him a little bit, and then on Wednesday, you might give him a little bit, and this goes on month after month, and even sometimes years after year, there come a time in your life you say it's not working. I've paid my tithes and I'm in debt. I've tried to go to church and my body is still sick, and all these things will come up and it'll make you doubt your experience. Amen. You get to get in. Who cares anyway? I'll tell you who cares. God cares. God cares. You care. Your family cares. This church cares. Now, I'm not talking about closed cars and condominiums. I'm talking about marriages, raising children. I'm talking about having good finance, and not just good finance so you can go out and purchase anything that you want. Now, that's fine if you can do that. I want you to do that. But you know what? I'm talking about financial in a place that you're set and you feel secure, but your security is not in the money. Your security is in the Lord. And I want you to know, as I told them Wednesday night, that money won't make you happy, but, you know, the lack of it can make you unhappy. Somebody say amen. Well, that was a good amen. But I'm saying this, whatever it is, did you know they that wait on the Lord anticipate something from God? And it costs someone a whole lot more to wait on God than for someone that does absolutely nothing. That's why many fall into the abyss of just waiting, wanting nothing good in their life, because it's easier not to want anything than to really want something and pray for something and expect something and never get it. It's a whole lot easier to just say, who cares anyway? Let's just give up. I'm here to tell you, God cares, and you should care, and you should reach down way down deep inside and say, listen, I may be knocked down, but I'm not knocked out, all right? You ain't seen nothing yet. I'm like old John Paul Jones when they bombarded his ship. It was on fire, and the admiral of Her Majesty's fleet said, hey, John Paul, are you ready to give up now? You know what he said? Yeah, you know what he said. He stood on the deck of that burning ship, and he cried out to that guy. He said, let me tell you something. You ain't seen nothing yet. I have not yet begun to fight. Amen. Your ship may be on fire. Your boat may be going down. Your crew may be lost. But let me tell you something. As long as you've got that great God Jehovah on the inside of you, as long as you've got the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from all sin, as long as you've got the power of the Holy Ghost, you can stand on the deck of your rashes and say, I have not yet begun to fight. You ain't seen nothing yet. I've never preached like I'm going to preach. I've never prayed like I'm going to pray. I've never got in God's word like I'm going to get in. You ain't seen nothing yet. I have not given up. Not given up. Not going to give up. Not going to quit. Now, I told you, I have resigned from this church many times. I'm just telling you. On Sunday, I said, that's it. But you know what? It's okay to quit when you know you're not going to quit. You'll get that. Maybe you'll understand it later, okay? It's okay to quit when you know you're not going to quit. But when you know you're going to quit, when you just say, this is it, what's the use anyhow? That's when you start quitting, and I just well live with this. I just might as well just live with what I got. Let me tell you something. Those are words of someone that's weary. Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint. Amen? And I say, I'm tired of praying. You're fainting. I'm tired expecting from God. I think I'm just going to lay here between the rats and the roaches. It seems like nothing ever works out for me. This is the way it is, and this is the way it's always going to be. But this time that you get up and say, it may be like this, and it may have been like this forever, but my history does not dictate my future. You understand that? Because today is a new season, and today is a brand new day, and this is the first day of the rest of your life, and this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I don't care what's happened in your past. All I care is that you get your eyes stayed on Jesus, and he'll lead you into the future, and you can be led into greener pastures than you're in right now. Amen. I see it all the time. I'm going to prison, preacher. My daddy went to prison. My grandpa went to prison. I'm sure grandpa's grandpa went to prison. See, some people find it easier just to lay down and play dead. And they are in this perpetual, inevitable victim of circumstance. They've allowed themselves to be typecast. They've allowed themselves to be labeled. They just lay there and do nothing in themselves, let alone do anything for God. See, it's hard to get anything by doing things for God. People won't do things for themselves. Because you can't be disappointed if you don't have any expectations. That's why some people don't have any expectations, because I just don't want to be disappointed, Pastor. I just don't want to be disappointed. These men in our text were going to get in. Oh, yeah, they were going to get in. We got a friend that's sick. And, you know, I've never heard anybody preach this, and I'm sure that this is part of it. I don't think that the man that was on the cot, I believe he had some faith, too. I believe he said, listen, guys, if you'll take me, I'll go, all right? I don't think he fought him all the way, but I believe he was in on it, too. So when he said he saw their faith, I believe he's on talking about the man on the cot. But I know we focus on the four men, but the four men are important because they knew that there was a solution, and the solution was Jesus. You give me a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, it says, I know that I know that I know that I got a problem. Somebody gets a divine revelation that Jesus is the solution to every problem. You get them sick and tired of being sick and tired. You get sick and tired of the same old thing. You get sick and tired of this is the way it is. It's always going to be. And all of a sudden, if you get up and say, I know a solution. The solution is in thus saith the word of God. It has creative power in it. This word does. This word can change your life. This word can turn your circumstance around. This word can give you power in your darkest hour. But you got to believe that this book in Jesus Christ is the word. And the word was flesh. And he is the solution for your problem. Yes, he is. You show me somebody that says, I know Jesus is the solution for the problem. I'll give somebody to climb out of their circumstance. You give me a church that says, I'm sick and tired of these barren altars. I'm sick and tired of being shined up every Sunday and there's no tear stains on them. You show me a church that says, I'm tired of being in church and not having a revival. I'm tired of raising a family and them not getting a hold of God. You show me somebody like that and I'll give you a church that'll catch on fire. I'll give you a person that'll catch on fire. I'll give you a mama and daddy that'll get on their knees for their lost children and they'll catch on fire. I want to be on fire. All I got to say is burn, baby, burn, because he is alive. Let God be true and every man a liar. Don't tell me that. I know you're lying to me. I can. It can happen. See, the difference between losers and winners is this. This is really pertinent right here. This is really important. I want you to hear this. See, this is not something that's been born last night. I'm talking about this sermon. Something's been born in me, and I've seen it. I've lived it. And I'm not lived it all out yet, but I want to tell you the difference between a winner and a loser. A winner always has a solution to the problem. That's what a winner has. Write that down. I don't say many profane things, but that's pretty profane. That's not the right word, is it? Profound, thank you. It's not profane. Strike that from the tape. From the CD. See, even preachers get setbacks when they're preaching. Example. Oh, man, that calls for a drink of water right there.
I still got 15 minutes, so quit looking at your clock, okay?
Yeah. A winner always has a solution for the problem. Profound? But I'll tell you something's profane. A loser always has a problem for the solution. Did you hear me? They always have a problem for the solution. I'm going to let that sink in a minute. A loser always, always says it can't work. Now, I tell you, I literally see this every day. Well, you folks better give me a break this morning. I about fell off the stage, dude. This is not my day. I wish this pulpit was a little bit bigger.
see it every day. In my work. In all my works.
Give a good example. Every week, just about every week at this church, somebody comes by and says, I need a handout.
I need a handout. Now, let me just tell you, so you don't think I'm calloused, and I give them a chance. I gave the guy a chance Wednesday night.
Amen.
And I told him, if you have any warrants, I'm going to take you to jail. Well, I'm from California. I have no warrants. I said, okay, well, that's good. Then we're good. I said, what's the number to your aunt that you said you kicked you out? And she lives here in Muskogee. I don't have it, but my old lady has it out in the car. I thought, man, you're 23 years old, and you got an old lady out there too? Hello? And so I said, okay, tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to call dispatch, and I'm going to find out if you have any warrants. Now, I'm not doing you any different than I do anybody else, but we're going to find out. And if you don't, we're good. If you do, you're going to jail. It's just that simple. But just go out there and get that number. Now, I thought, you know, if he has warrants, he's not coming back, okay? That was more than night, but not last night. I've learned a few things in life. And I called him, and before they could give me the answer, some of the ladies came to me and said, Pastor, you don't have to worry about that anymore. Said, they just left. And then they told me on the phone, yes, he has warrants. He has warrants out in California. He's not even supposed to leave California. Hello. So I see, I'm just telling you, I have ways and means, okay? I'm not some hard pastor here that has no heart. If they really have a need, I'll help them. People are always looking for a handout. I say, hey, why don't you go down to Salvation Army? Well, can't go down, can't go back there. See, there's a solution for the problem. Or a problem, I should say, the problem. There's a problem for the solution. Well, why don't you go down to the mission? I know that brother down there. He comes to our church and gives his vision every year. Well, I don't have a valid ID. There's a problem for the solution. Well, I got good news for you. You can go down to the PD, and you can get them to run a little check on you, and they can give you a temporary ID so you can go down and stay at the mission. Can't do that. I got warrants. Oh, you do? You do? You see, why don't you just cut to the chase, okay? Just cut to the chase. What do you want? I'll tell you what I really want. I want your hard-earned cash so I can keep doing nothing. I'm a criminal. I'm lazy. I don't want to work. So give me your cash for your calluses and let me be on my way, okay? That's just cut to the chase here. Well, I'm sorry, and you're going to have to pardon my grammar, but, baby, that ain't happening, okay? That ain't going to happen. If the Bible says, and this is bad news for some folk, this is what the Bible says. If a man doesn't work, a man doesn't eat, okay? And I'm not talking about those that can't work. I'm talking about those strong people that can work, but they'd rather thieve and they'd rather do drugs and they'd rather just steal from you and take all your stuff, okay? I want you to understand, the Bible said if Mr. You don't work, then you don't eat. Don't give me a bunch of excuses for the problems, okay? You give me a problem for every solution. I tell you what the solution is. Quit doing your drugs, okay? Get in a rehab. Get prayed through. Quit your drinking, your sinning, and get right with God and get a job and start living right and start working and start paying your tithes, and God will bless you. God will bless you if you'll just put forth a little effort. It may be tough and it may be hard. You say, I got this in my life. I don't care what's in your life. God will open doors for you, and sometimes he'll give you power to open the door yourself through the roof. You've got to make something happen. Happen sometimes, and God will give you that kind of power and vision to do so. Amen. Many churches, man, I'll tell you the truth, man, lots of churches, they gamble more than they give to God. Well, y'all got quiet on that one. Wonder why you're not blessed? Here's your solution. Sell out to God. Sell out to God. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Don't lay a bunch of
problems for your solutions on me. I mean, do you see these men in our text? They had a problem, but then they had a solution. They said, let's get to Jesus. Let's get our friend to Jesus. He is the solution. He saves us. He can fill you. He can save you. He can fill you. He can heal you. He can do all of that and more. But you've got to get some integrity and some gumption and say, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to work this thing out and wait on God. But as I wait, I'm not going to sit there and do nothing. Amen. Oh, yeah, they looked for a way. They looked for a problem and every solution. The door was shut. No more room. They couldn't get near to Jesus. The crowd was in the press. They couldn't get in. Well, they said, I got an idea. One guy probably said, I got an idea. Well, what do you got? It's kind of a revolutionary idea. We can't get in. Yeah, that's evident, man. Tell me something I don't know. I'll tell you something you don't know. Ain't never happened before that I know of. Have you heard that? Well, ain't never happened before. Doesn't matter. Lazarus never been raised from the dead, but he got raised anyhow. And they said, I got an idea. It never happened before, but I think it'll work. Well, tell us. Let's get on the roof and let's tear it up and let's let ourselves down. Let him down. Now, you know what? Could have found a problem to the solution right there. Can't do that, man. We'll get thrown in jail for that. We can't tear somebody's house up. We can't. I mean, that's unheard of, man. Man, you got some ideas, but that's stupid. I mean, give me a break. Let's just wait. Let's just wait until everybody leaves. Well, when you might go in there and Jesus is gone too. One guy said, me likey. And one said, me too. See, faith is contagious. So is doubt and unbelief. Look at those that died in the wilderness. Just start with one guy saying, oh, it's so hard. We got trouble. And we just should go back to Egypt. And, you know, they had leeks and garlics back there. And everybody started talking and gossiping. Man, I'm telling you what, if anything will destroy a church any quicker, I'm talking about in the faith realm, it's somebody start talking your doubt and your unbelief. And I get up here and preach for hours and brother, I can. I preach for hours on faith, but it does you absolutely no good as long as you just talk to everybody. Oh, I don't think it's going to work. We just can't. That's not a good idea. Let me tell you something. These men would not be denied. That's why I say by persistence, the snail made it to the ark. How bad do you want to get there? How bad do you want it? How bad is it in your heart? Well, I've tried. I'll try. We'll try again. Well, I prayed. We'll pray again. And seek God again. Knocking it shall be open. Seeking you shall find. And he said, if you'll look, if you'll seek, you're going to find it. If you'll ask, it shall be given unto you. But it's persistence. Persistence. When I was 15 years old, I went to work at the August Moon. I'm about to close here. I got 5 minutes. And you'll give me an extra five, so I've got 10. I worked at a place called August Moon. It was a Chinese place. And I went in. I was happy about the job. And I went in and I talked to the little Chinese lady. She was the only one that could speak English. And she told me, go back to the kitchen. We went back to the kitchen. She showed me what I was going to do. My job was to peel the celery. Big box of celery in front of me. Start peeling. So there I am peeling celery. And I'm not being facetious, but man, these other guys, they were talking Chinese and they were laughing and they were looking at me. I mean, maybe I got a chip on my shoulder. But maybe they were talking about me. Felt like they were. And they'd walk by and smirk at me and laugh. I took about 15 minutes of that deal. It took me 15 minutes to figure out that this is no life for me. It took me 15 minutes to come up with the motto, life's too short to dance with ugly women. There's more to life than peeling celery, I promise you that.
So you know what I did? I saturated that place with my absence. Oh, yeah. Life's too short to peel celery for the rest of your life. And so, you know, they couldn't even speak English, so I just said, out of there, you know. I'm gone. So I just proved it to them by the way what I did. It was my action that proved to them I wasn't going to stay around. You see what I'm saying? That's what faith is. It's showing by action what you're going to do. And I don't know if y'all ever saw that movie or that show back in the 70s. I did. It's called Kung Fu, amen, with David Carradine. You remember that? Set back in the West, you know. And, you know, every week, and you can snatch the pebbles from my hand. It's time for you to go. And every day, missed them every week. But one day, old David Carradine was slick enough to you do good, grasshopper. Now you go. Well, let me tell you something. It took David Carradine a whole lot of episodes to get those pebbles out of that Chinese hand. It only took me 15 minutes to snatch them pebbles and get up out of that Chinese restaurant, okay? I know that's not politically correct. Put a sock in it, man. That's your problem. You're too politically correct. You don't even want to talk about the devil being bad. Well, the devil's not that bad. He's just not nice. He's just misunderstood and misinformed. He's not a devil. He's just a misguided angel. Let me tell you something. He is a devil, okay? Matter of fact, he says he's the great red dragon. Get that in your spirit. He's a deceiver, and he's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And if you don't cast him out, he'll cast his spell on you, and he will destroy your life. You've got to put him in his place. Okay, I'm going to close. Yeah, I'm going to close. Come back. You see, what you are, if you say what I am is what I'll always be, then you will. If you say where I'm at is where I'll stay, that's where you're going to be. If you say, well, we're going nowhere, you're going nowhere. But if you can start believing God, and you can start busting up by faith every obstacle in your life, we're going to be talking about that in the next few weeks. If you can break up every obstacle, if you can find the solution, and I've told you what the solution is, Jesus. And I can tell you today, you're on your way to the miracle. Persistence, firm or obstinate. Continuance in a course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. That's what it means. Persistence. Are you listening? Anytime you've desired to get up, to have faith, to go forward, you got to know it won't be easy. If it was, everybody would do it. You have to be tough. You got to tear the roof off. For some, you've got to go to school in the night and work in the day. For some, you have to take two part-time jobs to make one full-time job. Sometimes you got to take a third job just to get ahead. For some churches, they got to start in a shopping center with a few members. Maybe three members and two nickels. For some, you take two good established churches in town and you come up with a great idea that comes from God that says we can be better together. And you can put them together. And somebody says they can't do it. It'll never work. It's impossible. I know those people. Hello. Well, let me just let you in on a little something, something. That is, we did it by the grace of God, and we're doing it even when they said we couldn't, and we did it anyhow, and it's all for the glory of God. Amen. Don't give up. Don't give up. I told this story, and I'll close with this story, a few Wednesday nights ago, but I had a different application. So I know some of you have not heard this story. I was in New York City, my wife and I, a few months ago, or a few weeks ago, actually, now. We were in a restaurant, in a mall, in Lower Manhattan, New York.
We had good friends. We were visiting, fellowshipping. Suddenly I thought I'd need something out of my pocket, so I went to get something out of my pocket, but I had too much stuff in my pocket, and I happened to grab my money clip. Well, I was traveling, and don't think I do this all the time, but I had over $1,000 in that money clip, nearly $1,200 to be exact. Don't get any ideas, I carry a gun. Just let you know. And so what I did, I got the money clip, and I sat and I put it between my legs, and I got whatever I was getting out of my pocket, and I kept talking, and we were visiting, and we got caught up in the conversation, and so I got up after we were finished with the meal, enjoyed it. We walked out of the restaurant, we hit the escalator, we went down the escalator, and then we walked outside, we hit the street, and I'm out there, and I didn't walk but about 3 foot when I realized something was wrong.